officers didn't hear him, being warned by the police to drop the bat, and didn't hear any noise in the house. Actually, I'm not quite sure about that last statement, because he was across. Actually, he was across the street later. He would have been initially was within 30 or 40 feet of right on the sidewalk next to the house, and then when the actual shooting happened, he had moved across the street to the porch of his family's house, which was considerably further away. But apparently, his vision is 20/20 is good, and so is that of his mother, Cherie, and they were both watching when the shots were fired, and they didn't see Brian strike anyone with the bat. Again, we have the testimony of the police officers that they did. We have the supposedly through Karen Clark, the testimony of Dominican Hospital that they were treated for injuries, and hopefully some of that evidence will come out at the trial. I've been handed some musical accompaniment here for the break. We're going to do a little break shortly, and we're going to encourage you, by the way, to join this conversation. Are we beating a dead horse here? I mean, should we be even criticizing the police this early in the game around the issue of the Brian Andrews shooting? I happen to think it's essential to bring these facts out, but some people feel that this is inappropriate. Some people feel it's not the time. Let's leave it to the Citizens Police Review Board or the police department or the courts. They can take care of it. Phone number here is 423-5361. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I'm your host, Bathrobe Spear Robert Norse, on the show Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides here every Sunday. We run from 11 to 1:30. So pick up your phone, give us a call, let us know what you think, and in the interim, we're going to have a little musical interlude for you, perhaps supplied by our guest, but first I'm going to play you a little something which I myself have brought into the studio, again from Mark Levy. This one is called the LAPD theme.
What's gotten into our men in blue that's making them overreact? Is there something about wearing that badge that they do that makes them just want to attack? Or could it be rookies who prove overzealous? Perhaps we should ask, why this rough stuff now, fellas? We're hopped up cops at the donut shops, drinking hot coffee and soda pops, watching for motorists running stops so we can go practice karate chops. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine, if we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean, it's the LAPD theme. Up against the car, did you hear what I said? Hands in the air or I'll smash your head. You better get on the ground or you'll wind up dead. You're gonna be sorry you ever spent coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean, it's the LAPD theme. You can bet your bottom dollar on the donuts I've eaten that your black butt is gonna get a beating. So go ahead, sue, if you think we're mistreating, and we'll take it up at the next Klan meeting. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine, if we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean, it's the LAPD theme. Against the car, did you hear what I said? Hands in the air or I'll smash your head. You better get on the ground or you'll wind up dead. You're gonna be sorry you ever sped. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine, if we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean, it's the LAPD theme. So watch watch your step, you criminal slime. Cause we're on the prowl, getting tough on crime. Get your cameras ready, get your lights online. Cause we're all pumped up for prime time. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. Coffee and donuts, sugar and caffeine. If we don't get it, we get mean. So all you junkies better come clean. It's the LAPD theme. It's the LAPD theme. It's the LAPD theme.
And that was Mark Levy, Born to be Wired, the LAPD theme, or is it the SCPD theme? That's the question here. You, of course, are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and we're kind of giving our guest a brief break. I think what we're going to do now is turn to another interview. The phone lines do not seem to be lighting up in great numbers, though they are open, folks. And if you want to give a call, you can call at 423-5361. That's 423-5361. We kind of discussed what we were going to do about the situation here in terms of what do you do when the police department shoots someone in this kind of a situation, and some real questions arise about what went on. That's the reason, supposedly, that the Citizens Police Review Board of Santa Cruz was set up. Those of you who follow this show regularly know my opinion of that board. It's a board appointed by the City Council. It has one public meeting a month. It holds all its hearings in private. It never discusses the reasons it arrives at any of the decisions it arrives at. It does no independent investigation. And essentially what it does is it takes complaints that have gone through review by the police department and looks over the files and then decides whether it thinks the police department made the right decision based on no particular independent testimony or review of the witnesses directly. Now, it's the head of the board now is a woman named Lisa Rose. Lisa actually was courteous enough to talk to several of us for an hour and a half last week. But unfortunately, she only confirmed my view. She claimed that the problem she had was with the law that created the Citizens Police Review Board was perhaps too weak, although she didn't use the words too weak. She said, if you have a problem, you have a problem with the law. Unfortunately, this isn't true, in my view, because, for example, in the Happy John Dine slang of last November, the Police Review Board had a number of options provided by the law that she was talking about that they chose not to exercise. And that they seem also to be choosing not to exercise in this, the Brian Andrus shooting either. One of those, and the one that they should be using now, is the option to hold an early investigation. This means that before the complaint works its way through the police labyrinth of the Internal Affairs Department, which really is the only place where an investigation actually happens, or has happened so far in any of the complaints in the last two decades. Well, since Santa Cruz began as a city and had a police force, the only review process has been through internal affairs, or if somebody's taken a case to court in a civil lawsuit, which may happen in this case. In any case, the CPRB, the Citizens Police Review Board, has the power to start an early investigation. They refused to do this in the Happy John case, and they aren't doing it apparently in this case, even though the two complaints that were brought to the police department, and one of them was yours, Doug, have been dismissed by the police department even without an investigation. Now, of course, all this means really is that I guess on Monday you're going to go in and file a more specific complaint along the lines that they claim they want, naming the particular officers and naming the specific policies. But I've read your complaint, and I'll be happy to read it on the air. I think I may have a copy of it here. I'm going to look for it. And frankly, you didn't bring a copy.
They kept it, too. My copy's somewhere, but I'm not sure where.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know, I mean, it's not, oh, I don't know, maybe it's not as specific as some complaints, but it's certainly not as vague as other complaints. And this is the first time I have ever heard, and perhaps I've missed some of this, but I've been keeping an eye on the Police Review Board frequently, if not steadily. I've been to probably a majority of their meetings, and I asked Gary Yamane, their staff member, for updates on what's going on at the Citizens Police Review Board. This is the first time I've ever heard that the police department has completely sent back complaints and saying they're too vague. Which leads me, as I said before, to wonder if there isn't an ulterior motivation. You know, it's a matter of speculation, but it seems strange at this point, at the same time the police department is refusing to turn over to the district attorney, or at least the district attorney is refusing to turn over to the defense counsel, the police reports, the police officer's statements about what happened that fatal day, your complaint is sort of turned back at the same time. You know, it could be a coincidence. I don't know. But the question is, what can the community do? And that was the question that, I guess, came up at the Button Street Neighbors Association meeting. And I guess you decided, what was decided at that meeting, Doug?
Well, everyone that's concerned is going to do, you know, whatever we can to basically just, if you start shooting people, you know, there are times when it might be necessary, but just be able to tell the truth about it. Be able to hold it up to the light of day and let everyone see. I personally believe any time that any round is fired during their duty, they should explain it to the citizenry.
Well, I agree completely, and I guess I made that point at the Happy John hearings. I urged Mayor Celia Scott to introduce a resolution whereby the city council, in any shooting, any serious use of force, automatically has a public hearing, regardless of what the CPRB, the Citizens Police Review Board, decides is appropriate or not. Because the Citizens Police Review Board, as I said, though appointed by the City Council, seems to be notoriously timid, hidebound by some sort of legalistic obsessions with procedures. They seem to me to have no real contact with their real purpose, which is to assure some kind of justice and citizen recourse for those of us who don't believe that a closed police process is a good way to deal with complaints of police misconduct. Instead, what we got now is a closed Citizens Police Review Board process that doesn't, you know, get us any further. And I guess what I'm hoping for is to see the City Council do something in terms of mandating a public hearing, and that would take the CPRB off the hook. They would say, oh, we have to do it because the City Council told us we have to do it. So, I mean, I would hope for that. I also note that out of this tragedy, this killing of Happy John Dine that happened in November, the only thing that came out of this was some incredibly glib and stupid resolution about, I don't know, selling toy guns in Santa Cruz. It wasn't even made a law. It was just a suggestion by the Police Review Board, some suggestion that officers be trained better in dealing with mentally or environmentally or developmentally disabled people. Those are the recommendations of the CPRB. There were two others as well on something about homes be looked into, the home where John Dine was living. But the key issues of, you know, firearms policy, do you, when in doubt, come from about, don't whip out your guns and start shooting, give clear warnings first, make judgments about the real lethal possibilities before you approach a suspect who you believe to be armed, as they did in the case of Happy John Dine. And as testimony, by the way, shows, they also had those concerns about Brian Andrews, not that he had a gun, but that he had prior contact with an officer in a hostile manner. He apparently had been charged with, I'm not sure he was convicted of, some sort of altercation with an officer in the county. So they, and according to Shari Peterson, they officers put on their gloves and pulled out their nightsticks even before they approached the house or before they began knocking on the door. And so they were, you know, gearing up for some kind of hostile encounter. Certainly the practices there should be reviewed. I mean, you know, somebody is dead as a consequence. Simply rubber stamping and saying all policies were followed, as our Citizens Police Review Board did, our police chief did, our DA did, our city council did, in the case of John Dine, is not the proper response. And we can see, well, I don't want to say this is chickens coming home to roost, but hey, It's another shooting, folks. And maybe this kind of shooting would have been prevented if police officers had in mind that before they start shooting people, they would be held accountable for the last shooting, which, in my mind, they weren't. So, at the conclusion of the Happy John Dine case, where the city council just said, everything's rosy, let's move right along, there was a resolution or two made that Chief Belcher, our police chief, should report back to the city council within 6 weeks to talk about the policies they have regarding statements to the press. Now, my impression of this was that they wanted to muzzle the police chief so he wouldn't stick his foot in his mouth, which he did. But, of course, it was both the police chief and the district attorney in the John Dine case who gave us the information, later shown to be misinformation, that Dine was holding a weapon, that the weapon was visible in his hand, that he was pointing it at the police officers in a combat stance. All of these allegations were discredited by the Citizens Police Review Board, which finally accepted the story of Officer Connor Carey, the officer who shot Happy John Dine, that no, he was reaching for a weapon. I don't even know if I believe that one, but that one at least is more in consonance with the 10-plus citizen witnesses who were not police officers who observed the scene and said they saw no weapon in Dine's hand, they saw nothing pointed at the police, they saw no combat stance. So Kennedy and his attempt to get the police chief to button up his lip or to review his policies of making statements, this is some people are more optimistic about this. I think that maybe they're saying the police chief should, I don't know what they're saying, but more carefully explore the situation, that maybe he was being criticized for statements that were shown to be in error. If those statements are in error, which they are, and almost everyone agrees to that except the police department, we don't have the police department admitting publicly that the Happy John Dine report that they gave out initially was false, or let's be generous, wrong. Maybe that'll come back to City Council, which is meeting, by the way, on Tuesday. For all of you council watchers who either want to come down to City Council, which is at 7 o'clock in the evening at 809 Center Street across from the main library and the Civic Auditorium, or you can watch it on, I guess it's channel, I don't even know if it's channel 71 or 72, but it's one of those two. You can watch it on cable if you're lucky enough to have a cable access. You can see it being broadcast there live. And what that also means, of course, is that if you come and choose to speak at City Council on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, you will be seen live on cable by probably hundreds of people. And a record will be made of your testimony. So if you're concerned about this, and I guess, Doug, you're planning to go down there at City Council on Tuesday night?
Yes, I'm going to go to the City Council. I'm also going to go to the Police Review Board.
Oh, yeah, the Police Review Board on Monday. Actually, before we go any further, let's take this incoming call.
Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi. I don't know if you wanted this on the air or what. Did you know about a press conference supposed to be happening today?
On what subject?
I thought it was the camping or the sleeping ban.
Yes. You know, I think what's happening today on the sleeping ban, I probably should let you and others know on the air, is that there was an endorsement of the repeal of the sleeping ban, the initiative being circulated around Santa Cruz by Father Mike Marini.
Uh-huh.
And I guess folks who want to get citizens to get this law changed, law that makes it illegal for people to sleep after 11 o'clock at night in their vehicle or outside or covered up with blankets, they're going around to the churches today. And they are trying to catch people as they come out of Easter ceremonies. Some pastors are telling their congregation, please take a look at this initiative. It's a human rights issue that we're concerned with. It's an issue of conscience. But I don't know about a press conference.
I was just wondering. It was, from what I had heard, it was something with David Silva. And I just ran into Bob, a free radio reporter who had just come from where the press conference was supposed to happen, also Channel 46, I believe, is there.
Wow.
And so just, you know, if anybody's listening to your show that was supposed to be at a press conference today or has any vague recollection, the press is there. Nobody else is.
The press is pretty depressing, so, I must say.
So I just got that message and figured I'd pass it on since it might have been some of your listeners.
If you hear any more about this press conference, and you know, please call in and give us an update.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Bob's listening, but... He told me the press was there, the speaker, whoever's supposed to speak, is not there. So if you're listening to the show and you're supposed to be speaking at a press conference, you might want to show up.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Whoa. Well, I hope that whoever... You know, there actually was a press conference yesterday. Maybe the press got it wrong. The press was supposed to show up yesterday at noon. And so actually, maybe they came a day late. Hard to say. It's a sad thing because media is so hard to get around the issue of the sleeping ban, even though it's such a clear issue. You cannot arrest people for sleeping outside or in a vehicle if they have no other legal place to sleep and they're not engaging in any real violations of the law or crimes against people or property, unless you're intent on driving homeless people or poor people away from town, which is constitutionally barred and morally repugnant. And, you know, as Christians, if those of you who are Christians out there, I would think something you would not countenance, not want to see happening in your community.
There's like a conspiracy on press conferences in this town. If you have issues they don't want you to talk about or whatever, there's things are put in the paper improperly. I run into the same thing with the hemp issue all the time. When they put it in the proper, or medical marijuana, when they put it in the newspaper here, it's the time's always set wrong, and what's going to happen, everything, it's like on purpose. I don't know how this fit in, but it fits into the same scheme almost. God.
Well, I know Karen Clark, we've frequently criticized her. She's wrote the articles on the Brian Andrus slang, all except this one by Mae Wong that you read, which actually she bothered to call up Brian Andrus's wife and talk to her. However, when Karen Clark has written the rest of these articles, and she again continues to trumpet the police position as the only acceptable position, she makes no mention of the critics. She makes no mention of the other witnesses who dispute what the police have said. So, yeah, media is definitely a problem. I think what I'm going to do here is play a little something that we were going to discuss last week. This is a story from a man named Brian Clark, and Brian is a man who is one of the folks out in Aptos, actually not really involved with the young people out there that much. He went into the shopping center and he got hassled by the police big time. And you may remember we've been interviewing folks like Richard Quigley and Jerry Henry, who have been concerned about police misconduct against young people at Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center and suffering for their concern because they, by their accounts, have been targeted, and that seems to be the case based on what I've seen, although I only have one opinion here. Let's hear a little of what Brian Clark experienced on Christmas Eve from Deputy James Thurber.
I'm with Brian Clark. Brian, you're a resident of Aptos, is that accurate?
That's correct.
And you were at the Aptos Shopping Center, what, a couple months ago?
Yeah, in December.
And tell me what happened. I ran into you in the corridors of the court in a case partially involving Jerry Herman. What was that about?
Well, basically what happened was Christmas Eve, we went to the Aptos coffee shop to get a cup of coffee. To wake up, you know, being that I had to go to work.
This was the coffee roasting company?
Coffee roasting company.
What time of day was this, Brian?
This must have been 12, 1 o'clock.
And this was
I had to go to work later on that day, so.
What kind of work do you do?
I wait tables at the Shadowbrook.
Uh-huh.
Capitola.
And you went with one friend, or how many friends?
Actually, I went with my brother and my girlfriend, Gina.
Uh-huh. So you went into had you been to the roasting company before?
Oh yeah, I'm a local there. Been going to the roasting company. I've had both my stepbrothers work there and all my friends work there. So I've been going there for about 5 years.
So you're no stranger to the roasting company, and they know you pretty well.
Oh yeah.
So what happened?
Anyways, well, I was inside getting a cup of coffee, and my girlfriend stepped outside to have a cigarette, and. A couple of minutes later, I come walking out with some coffee, and I see there's a cop there talking to her.
A sheriff's deputy?
sheriff's deputy, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And,
what did you hear the two, what did you hear the sheriff say to her?
He wasn't actually really saying anything to her. I went out, and she was sitting there, and I went out and talked to her, and, basically just said, what's going on? You ready to go? Because we were, you know, on our way out of there. And the sheriff says to me that she can't leave because she's being detained.
Uh-huh. And what did you think of that?
I don't know. I was kind of wondering. I asked him, what is she being detained for? And he said that she was smoking a cigarette. And so I said, yeah, so? Because, you know, she's 18. She's over 18. Mm-hmm. I said, she's 18. What's the big deal? We've got to leave. We're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he wouldn't let us leave. Was detaining her. So I left. I had to go call in to my work to find out what time I was in at. And over the course of that, he was doing a warrant check, running her name in through the computers.
Had you ever seen this kind of thing happening at Aptos Shopping Center before, at the Rancho Del Mar Shopping Center?
Not really. I mean, I've seen the A1s kind of messing with some people, and maybe the sheriff's messing with some people a little bit.
By the A1s?
Not really.
By the A1s, you mean the first alarm security?
Alarm, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so, I mean, I've seen people carded for buying cigarettes, but I've never seen anybody carded for smoking a cigarette.
Now, do you know the name of the deputy who was doing this?
Deputy Officer Thurber.
James Thurber.
Thurber.
Mm-hmm. And how did Officer Thurber, was he polite to you? Was he?
Actually, he was rude from the get-go, not even to me, but another gentleman, a random person walking by, stopped to see what was going on, and Officer Thurber kind of wigged out on him, threatened to take him in if he didn't back off.
What did he? Did he say anything? Did this man say anything abusive to Thurber? No,
he just said he knew one of the. There's actually another girl being detained who works at Safeway, and this gentleman happened to know her and was just asking what was going on.
So there was a second woman aside from your girlfriend being detained?
Yeah, there was another girl who works at Safeway who was out on her break having a cigarette.
And what was she being detained for?
The same thing, smoking a cigarette.
And what were do these two women, when I saw your girlfriend, we're talking Gina?
Yeah.
She looked like, you know, I mean, I couldn't tell if she was 13 or 23. You know, I'm not very good at judging people's ages. What was your sense? I mean, if you came upon her not knowing how old she was, what would you say? Would there be?
She's right around that. I mean, she looks right around 18. I mean, she doesn't look young, but she doesn't look old.
And what about this other woman that was?
She looks older than 18. I mean, she's short, but she looks 18.
Did you hear both these women tell the deputy that they were over 18 or they were
18? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, he asked my girlfriend, he asked Gina's age, and both myself and Gina, in unison, gave her birth date. But that wasn't good enough, so.
And so how long was all this taking?
This is about over the course of just a couple minutes so far. I made the mistake of opening my mouth and saying something to the effect of, this is ridiculous, it's Christmas Eve, she's smoking a cigarette, what's the big deal? Why can't you just let us leave? We're on our way out of here.
And did you say this immediately, or did you say this after waiting a period of time?
I said this probably within the first couple minutes.
And were you speaking in a loud, abusive tone?
Oh, not at all. I was speaking more in like a surprise, like, why are you doing this? This seems kind of absurd to me.
And how far away were you from the deputy when you said this?
I was probably about 10 feet.
At this point, there's
other people around, and it wasn't like a big deal at this point.
Okay, and so then what happened?
Well, there was a point where I had to leave to go use the phone, and then I was kind of talking to some other people, just kind of waiting for it to run its course. And then I started thinking to myself, I thought, I knew she had a warrant in a different county, a Solano County, or something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, oh shit, he's going to find this warrant, and shit's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came walking back, and about the time I got back was about the same time he got confirmed a warrant for her.
And are you talking about a warrant for murder or armed robbery?
Actually, it was a warrant for a failure to appear in a possession of less than 1 ounce of marijuana.
That sounds like pretty...
way back, a long time ago, in a different county.
Sounds pretty serious to me.
Oh, yeah, she's already been to jail once for it.
So, aside from this marijuana criminal stuff on Christmas Eve, so you came back and you saw what happening again?
I came back and I saw him confirming the warrant, basically. And they started walking back over towards, he was walking her over away from the coffee shop, over towards the car. And of course she was getting upset and he was like kind of, he was being pretty rude, you know, he was like yelling at her and stuff.
What did he say?
She was kind of like, and like, you know, I'm 18, you have no right to stop me and harass me and this and that. And he said, why are you upset? And she said, well, I have a right to be mad. And he said, no, you don't. You have no right to be mad. And was basically telling her that she didn't have any right to be upset or anything like that. And it was just, you know, he was just kind of being rude to her and yelling at her.
He was taking her in on a warrant in a distant county for less than an ounce of marijuana on a Christmas Eve.
Uh-huh.
After having stopped her for smoking a cigarette because he...